Father in heaven, thank you so much for this opportunity to share. Lord, we're all looking for a new start. And Lord, you've promised that in Jesus. And I pray, God, that you'd be with those who could not be here today. Be with the Pathfinders whose camperee or camp out was canceled this week. I pray that you'd be able to redeem the time and bless them in another way. And I just pray that as we were reminded in the song, that your angels would be here along with your Holy Spirit. Speak through me, I pray. And may we get a blessing from you. In Jesus' name, amen. So growing up in Saskatchewan, I was told this tall tale that by March, sometimes Calgary would be free of snow. But that's not the case. It's a tall tale. I was also going to mention that Christian lifestyle is one of my favorite topics. I know that I talked to Pastor again. I said, well, what would you like me to preach on? And he said, you know, health. And I said, okay. And so I would be doing you a disservice if you left here today thinking that this is a message of righteousness by plate. This is righteousness by faith is what we believe. And that this is kind of a continuation of the last sermon on temperance. So I also was going to call, well, I was wondering, do you guys know the acronym for New Starts? Do you guys know what the N stands for? Nutrition. E is exercise, water is W, sunlight, temperance, air, rest, and trust. Okay, you guys are professionals. You got 100%. I was going to call the sermon Control-Alt-Delete. I don't know, growing up, I guess people who still use PCs, if your computer freezes, Control-Alt-Delete, and you get a new start. You got to restart it. I wanted to share a little story about a gentleman that I played baseball with growing up. When I was about 14, we got a chance to play in Windsor, Ontario together, and he continued with his baseball career all the way to the major leagues. He's a pitcher for the Seattle Mariners, and he had one inning that I came across, because I like to keep an eye on some of these people and how they were doing. He had an inning where, let's just say, it didn't go so well. They were playing against the New York Yankees. In the first inning, the left fielder made two errors. The shortstop made two errors. The catcher even made an error. This guy could not buy an out. This would be acceptable at a T-ball or a slow pitch game. These are professionals. Andrew could have only thought to himself, my goodness, I need a new start. See, Andrew had no control of what his teammates could do. However, when it comes to our lifestyle, we still have that freedom of choice. We have something to say. Now, when it comes to the gospel, Jesus, he redeems us. A big word is justification. He takes us just as we are. But then in that process of getting to know us and as we abide in him and he in us, there's this work of sanctification, this work of a lifetime, this restoration. And so God is actually planning to work that in and through all of us together. And this includes our lifestyle. Now, if you were listening, back on December 23rd, I used an illustration. Actually, I brought up an original word that comes up in the Hebrew in the book of Genesis. If you have your Bibles, I'll ask you to go to Genesis 1, 3 to 4. Let's go to the beginning. I want to see if anyone can remember what this original word is. In Genesis 1, 3 to 4. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. What is so interesting about that word good, if you can remember, good actually means beneficial or valuable. So when God said there was light, what he was saying is, this light is beneficial and valuable. You see, when the sun is exposed to our skin, a cholesterol-like compound in the blood transforms it into vitamin D, and this process goes through the kidney and the liver. If we get enough sunlight, what will happen is it will ease our tension, it'll increase our immunity, also it'll improve our sleep and boost our energy levels. Sun is something so important. I know I'm so blessed to be in Alberta, as are you, that we get some of the most sun in all of the country. And I don't know how people can live to the west where they love the rain. That doesn't make any sense to me. But I love the sun. And then there's all the other things that we can get for vitamin D. People eat mushrooms, people drink fortified milk, soy milk and things like that. You can find your vitamin D. However, we can get all the sun we want, but if we don't have the sun of righteousness, we're missing the most important vitamin. If you go to 1 John 1:5, it says, "This is the message which I have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." The importance of having that natural light, but more importantly, the sun of righteousness. My question to you today is, are you basking in the presence of the sun of righteousness? And what sins are we hiding in the shade? You see, when we expose our life and all of ourselves to Christ, things begin to melt. God will replace the things in our lives in which we are struggling with. So we learned that sunlight is good, it's beneficial, and it's valuable. How about air? Genesis 2:7. We're not going to go there yet. So, we know that we can live... Jesus lived up to about, 40 days without any food and water? I wouldn't suggest you try that. However, we're told that after 3 weeks without food, cells begin to diminish and they begin to weaken. Without water for 3 days, the cells begin to weaken. And without air for 3 minutes, people will begin to die. You see, air is made of 21% oxygen and 79% nitrogen. Now, if you were to look at the proper way to breathe, how does a baby breathe? Does it breathe with its shoulders? No, it breathes from its diaphragm, right? If you were to look at our talented choir, they breathe from the diaphragm. The importance of getting that best quality of air. You see, if only we lived close to the mountains where we could get some of that high quality air. You see, something that congregates around streams, rivers, and mountains are called negative ions. It's just the best quality air that you can get. It's when you go hiking by a river and you feel so invigorated and you have so much energy. God had designed that we get the best quality air. Now, how did Jesus preach to his disciples and to those following him? I want you to go to Matthew 5, verse 1. Where did Jesus choose to preach one of his most famous sermons? Sorry, let's go. Matthew 5, 1. Let's read it ourselves. Matthew 5. And the Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up on the mountains, and when he came, he was seated with his disciples, and his disciples came to him." So, he congregated with those who were following him at the mountains. I find that very interesting, because we're told the benefits of negative ions, that our body cells regenerate, our sleep quality improves, our memory enhances, and there's a positive effect on our mood. You see, Jesus doesn't do anything haphazardly. He wanted those who were there that day to retain as much as he would share. You see, we're told that prayer is the breath of the soul. And my question is, are you breathing back? What's your prayer life like? Another time Jesus breathed, we know in Genesis 2:7, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Do you guys remember another time where Jesus breathed on his followers? Right? He was giving him the Holy Spirit. So breath, very important, and air. Now, something that I got to experience was, I got to take my wife to a very special place on a honeymoon. I know what you're thinking. You know, what a romantic guy. I took her to a sanitarium with a hyperbaric air chamber. I know when Kim shared that message, people were like, "I feel so sorry for you." However, she's such a great wife, and she actually enjoyed it. You see, we got to learn about the benefits of being exposed to very high levels of oxygen. You see, what happens is that the hyperbaric chamber raises blood oxygen levels about 100 times more than normal pressure. That allows the blood plasma to dissolve 10 times more in the oxygen. And the hyperoxygenated blood plasma reaches the body where oxygen is restricted. So we would go there and we would see people that, you know, might have had a stroke or they struggling with different diseases. And over so many certain sessions in this oxygen tank, there was being improvement. They were getting exposed to oxygen and they were seeing amazing things happen. So we can learn a lot from air. Now, as we talk about negative ions, we look at where to get the highest quality. We talked about the rivers and streams. So we've got, you know, outside you get a lot. However, you know, inside rooms and offices, 500, 400, 300, zero. So the importance of getting air. We're also told that we can plant plants in our homes, that they give off oxygen. It's important that we're always, even when we're sleeping, having a window open, just a crack, to get that oxygen going. And so as I shared with you, we went to this hyperbaric chamber, and it was crazy because it was like $100 an hour just to go in this thing. So people would actually go there, and they would actually take their books that they were studying, and they would sit in there, and they found that they were able to retain more because of the high levels of oxygen. God designed oxygen to be a blessing to us. How about water? Let's go to Genesis 1:10. Genesis 1, verse 10. What can we learn about water? So Genesis 1, verse 10 says, "And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good," or beneficial, right? Or valuable. We learn water is very important. So someone might ask, how much water should I drink in a day? Well, there's a little, I guess, scenario or an equation that you can use. So let's just say if I'm 160 pounds, which I wish I was, you divide it by two. Essentially, you take your body weight, divide it by two, and that's how many ounces that you're supposed to drink in a day. So that would be 80 ounces or 10 8-ounce cups in a day. Science has told us that actually drinking 5 cups a day decreases your risk of heart attack by 50%. That when you drink, say, something like juice or, you know, Gatorade or things like that, people say, hey, there's water in there, isn't there? Well, no, there isn't. If you were to drink something with caffeine in it, say one cup of coffee or an energy drink, it takes 2 cups of water just to make up for the water that you've lost. Very interesting. So, Jesus is actually speaking to a woman at the well in John chapter 4, and he's thirsty. And notice he wasn't asking for coffee, he wasn't asking for tea, he was asking for water. And when he engages with this woman, he offers her the everlasting water. The question today is, where are we filling our buckets? From what fountains are we drinking from? You see, sometimes we need to go on a fast, a water fast. Under doctor supervision, people found that if they drink water for a day or two, that their body recharges, that they're able to expel toxins. You know, you think of the sanctuary service. Once a year, the high priest would do what to the sanctuary? He would cleanse it, right? Is it not good for us once a year to do a cleanse? I think so. Now, nutrition. Let's go to Genesis 1:13. What does the Bible say? Genesis 1:13. The Bible says, Genesis 1, verses 11. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit, according to its kind, whose seed is in itself, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and the herb that yields seed, according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was Good. There's that word keeps coming up. Beneficial, valuable. The original diet God had said is going to be beneficial. Now, we established in Genesis 2:7 that man was formed of the dust of the ground, right? It's interesting when you look at, you know, trees, that they're made of a lot of the same materials as man. Obviously, a different entity. People often say you are what you eat, but the Bible is also hinting you are to eat what you are. Right? We're made of the dust of the ground. We should eat things that come from the ground. Nature gives us some very interesting cues when we study nature. So if you were to take a carrot, you were to cut it, and you look at it, what does that resemble on an eye, right? We understand that carrots have a lot of beta carotene, and they help in eye function. What's that thing that beats in your chest that has four chambers? A heart? Well, did you know that a tomato has four chambers? Interesting. And how about this? This caught my attention. A walnut. The brain. Exactly. You see, it has an upper and lower cerebellums. There's wrinkles on the folds. There's a left and right hemisphere. God was giving us a hint, saying, look, these things are good for you. And I'm sorry if you're allergic. They're a blessing. God says in Psalm 104:14 that God gave that the herb of the field for the service of man, that God had given these foods to be a blessing to us, that they will be used in keeping our bodies healthy. Now, some archaeologists were digging in Rome, and this was kind of near the Colosseum where gladiators would often fight. And often, when you're a gladiator, usually you only had one strike, and you were out. When they dug up these gladiators in this burial ground, it was about 200 square feet, and they found that these men were buried with tridents, with swords, and with armor. And when they took the samples of the bone minerals, they found that they, as they went to the lab, they found that they actually ate a plant-based diet. Understanding that these gladiators would have been the rock stars of the day. They could have been eaten whatever they wanted. But if they would have survived and they needed the best endurance, they found that they ate mostly beans and barley. They found that they would heal quick if they had a chance to actually live again, and that they'd be the most agile. So these gladiators were eating from the Garden of Eden. Another story I came across, very interesting. In 1997, there was an Adventist group that built a prison. Did you hear about this story? In 1997 to 2001, they decided, you know what, we're going to give the prisoners options. The state had approved this. They said, we're going to go on the New Start diet. And the state said, you know, you'll be lucky if you get 5% of the prisoners who are willing to try to eat this way. And they said, you know, let's just see what happens. Well, 85% of the prisoners decided to go on to this diet. What was so interesting about this was that, I know for me growing up, you would have had to probably put me in prison to eat this way. But these guys found that the ruckus that would happen in the yard and this, you know, where there was different groups and gangs that would form, they started playing basketball in the yard together. They started having none of these situations where they had to lock down the prison. Because they were offering them Bible studies and eating really good food, they did a study and they found that normally 95% of people that would go to prison in California at some point would come back. The ones that went to this prison, that went to the New Start, only 2% visited again. Very interesting. From what do we eat, from what we eat, does that affect how we act? I think it would. So, what can we learn from them? Now, if only we could have a car like this. It's not in the budget, and I don't think it would look too good if a pastor came to church in a car like this. I think the offerings would go down quite quickly. However, when you get a car like this and you want to maintain it, what's the first thing you'd look for in the glove compartment? The manual, right? You're not just going to take it to Great Canadian Oil Change and get it done. You're not going to buy the cheapest tires you can find. you're going to be very, very specific about how you treat this car. So, you look at the owner's guide, certain fuel goes in it, right? I couldn't say, you know, I think I'm just going to put some diesel or some regular fuel in this, right? What would happen? It would run poorly. But our bodies are really no different, right? God is saying, look, you can put in regular fuel, but he desires premium, right? You're going to run better, better efficiency, probably not in this car. You probably won't get good gas mileage, whatever you do to it. However, God is saying, I want you to take care of this temple. Now, Adventists have been studied all over the world. You've heard of the blue zones. They're finding that Adventists that live the health message, they live anywhere from 7 to 10 years longer. And this is true. I came across some data where they studied some Adventists in California. And they found that Adventists that were living the health message, lung cancer was 21% lower, colon and rectum cancer, 62% lower, and breast cancer, 85% lower. In California women, it would say that 76% lower for Adventist women, comparing cancer rates to those of Adventists in California to other Californians. And I'm telling you, this isn't just because they lived in California. Don't move to California. We need you here. The thing is, God is saying if we apply the things that we learn, not saying that no one will ever get sick, that's not true. You know, there's environment, there's genetics, all these things come into play. However, there is an advantage. We look at the mortality of men, comparing the cancer rates. You see that Adventists in California, 60% lower for cancer. Now, growing up, I grew up on the Ukrainian diet, a lot of dairy and a lot of meat. And I know a lot of, you know, relatives would struggle with heart disease and cancer and things like that. Now, an experiment was done where they had a man who was eating a certain way for a number of years, and then what happened was for about 2.5 years, he changed his diet. The problem was he had hit a really bad clogged artery, and they had to do a bypass. So what they did, with him just making some dietary changes, this is what happened. So on the left was what it looked like before, and on the right, after about 2.5 years, there was a lot of improvement. A lot of people might say, you know, but if you eat these things and you eat, you know, a plant-based diet, are you going to be able to get your protein? Well, we can ask this guy right here, and he's doing just fine. You know, he's able to get just as much nutrients as he needs. Some of the strongest men. There's a man that I came across. He's from Iran, but he lives in Germany. And he has the world record for being able to pick up a car and walk the furthest. So a car was about 2,300 pounds, and he'd be able to pick it up. They have it on some sort of like stand where he could lift. And he has the world record for being able to carry a car. And he eats the same way as the guy on the screen. Very interesting. How about exercise? So what was the first exercise that God had given to Adam and Eve? Do you remember? Working in the garden, that's right. And so when the children of Israel left Egypt, there was something very interesting. Joshua 5:6 tells us that God had his children of Israel walk. They were used to eating the Egyptian diet, and he's saying, you know what, you need some sun. I'm going to get some water out of this rock. I'll send you bread from heaven. God was giving them a new start. Now, when it comes to a new start and living a healthy lifestyle, sometimes we don't trust God, and trust is something that's really important. We have circumstances, just like the children of Israel, where there's a Red Sea in front of you, an army behind you, and we feel like we have to compromise. Now, I don't know if you heard about this gentleman. In 2016, he was the Brazilian Series B Player of the Year. Did you guys hear about him? His mother-in-law had planted a seed with him about the Sabbath. He was the goalie of the year in Brazil. His mother-in-law was an Adventist, and she said, you know, Saturday's the Sabbath, Friday night to Saturday night. And he was convicted, but for 12 years he didn't do it because he was making lots of money. But over time, he was convicted, and he said, you know what? I need to do something about this. Carlos de Costa, he ended up leaving his contract, thousands and thousands of dollars, even millions possibly, to keep the Sabbath, and he didn't get re-signed. He started a Bible study with his teammates, but he left his profession. You see, James 4:17 says, to him that knows to do good and does it not, to him it is sin. Sometimes we are sick because God is impressing us to do things, and we just won't budge. God says, I know this is light, but I will not walk in it. God blesses us. If he's willing to not play sports on Sabbath, should we not as well? If he's willing not to be paid on Sabbath, should we spend money? Probably not. See, God is asking us to honor that day. Not only when we keep the Sabbath are we honoring him in resting, but we'll also show that we trust. You see, trust is developed through time. When I met my wife, I just didn't see her and say, let's get married tomorrow. You see, she would have walked in the other direction. It took time to develop that trust. It takes time to get to know God and to trust him. And as we close, 3 John 2, a common verse that we've heard before. 3 John 2. It says, Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. I came across this word in the Greek, and it's sozo. And what's so interesting about sozo is that it means health and healing, and it also means salvation. God's interested in both. And when our lives are in harmony with the best way to treat our bodies, we get to hear his voice clear, and we get to live longer to serve him and to share his message. So I pray that today that there's something that you've gleaned, that maybe there's one of the letters from the New Star acronym that you want to apply in your life. You know, maybe it's not getting enough rest. Maybe it's not getting enough water or exercise. Maybe God wants to make some modifications to your diet. I would say this, let God in. God can only bless what you surrender. Thank you for your time, and God bless you.